When the detectives again pleaded ignorance, he explained that it was a stretch of park where one encountered hustlers mostly, adding, "But plenty of amateurs, too. Nurses, secretaries. I've had a lot of luck there. And this particular evening. Have any luck?" "The bad kind. We ended up with a pair of rollers."
"Named?"
"Mildred. The other one, Perry's girl, I think she was called Joan."
"Describe them."
"Maybe they were sisters. Both blonde, plump. I'm not too clear about it. See, we'd bought a bottle of ready-mix orange blossoms. That's orange pop and vodka, and I was getting stiff. We gave the girls a few drinks and drove them out to Fun Haven. I imagine you gentlemen never heard of Fun Haven." They hadn't. Hickok grinned and shrugged. "It's on the Blue Ridge Road, 8 miles south of Kansas City. A combination nightclub motel. You pay $10 for the key to a cabin." Continuing, he described the cabin in which he claimed that the foursome had stayed the night. Twin beds, an old Coca-Cola calendar, a radio that wouldn't play unless the customer deposited a quarter. His poise, his explicitness, the assured presentation of verifiable detail impressed Nye. Though, of course, the boy was lying. Well, wasn't he? Whether because of flu and fever or an abrupt lessening in the warmth of his confidence, Nye exuded an icy sweat. "Next morning we woke up to find they'd rolled us and beat it," said Hickok. "Didn't get much off me. But Perry lost his wallet with $40 or $50.
"What did you do about it?"
"There wasn't nothing to do."
"You could have notified the police."
"Oh, come on. Quit it. Notify the police. For your information, a guy on parole's not allowed to booze or associate with another old grad."
"All right, Dick. It's Sunday, the 15th of November. Tell us what you did that day from the moment you checked out of Fun Haven."
"Well, we ate breakfast at a truck stop near Happy Hill. Then we drove to Olathe, and I dropped Perry off at the hotel where he was living. I'd say that was around 11. Afterward, I went home and had dinner with the family. Same as every Sunday. Watched TV. A basketball game, or maybe it was football. I was pretty tired."
"When did you next see Perry Smith?"
"Monday. He came by where I worked. Bob Sands Body Shop."
"And what did you talk about?"
"Mexico."
"Well, we still liked the idea, even if we hadn't got hold of the money to do all we had in mind. Put ourselves in business down there. But we wanted to go, and it seemed worth the risk."
"Worth another stretch in Lansing?"
"That didn't figure.
See, we never intended coming stateside again."
Nye, who had been jotting notes in a notebook, said, "On the day following the check spree, that would be the 21st, you and your friend Smith disappeared. Now, Dick, please outline your movements between then and the time of your arrest here in Las Vegas. Just a rough idea."
Hickok whistled and rolled his eyes. "Wow," he said, and then, summoning his talent for something very like total recall, he began an account of the long ride. The approximately 10,000 miles he and Smith had covered in the past 6 weeks. He talked for an hour and 25 minutes, from 2:50 to 4:15, and told, while Nye attempted to list them, of highways and hotels, motels, rivers, towns, and cities, a chorus of entwining names. Apache, El Paso, Corpus Christi, Santillo, San Luis Potosí, Acapulco, San Diego, Dallas, Omaha, Sweetwater, Stillwater, Tenville Junction, Tallahassee, Needles, Miami, Hotel Nuevo Waldorf, Somerset Hotel, Hotel Simone, Arrowhead Motel, Cherokee Motel, and many, many more.